and welcome to the Full Weight of Joy podcast, the podcast for women who are done stressing about the weight of the world, of expectations, and settling for status quo, and ready to step into the full weight of joy. Joy in the journey, whether up or down, joy through the life's challenges, and joy in loving your life right where you are, even though sometimes we feel like chucking it all and moving to Bali. It's for women who are ready to step into who God called them to be. He chose you to be in this world. He created you for a specific purpose. God called us to be the light on a hill, and by embracing who you are and whose you are, you can stand on that hill and shine. The best part, when you're standing next to another woman who's also on the journey, the world gets brighter. My name is Tammy. I'm your host and a master certified life coach and a trained therapist. For over a decade, I've been helping women do just that. Step into who they're called to be and shine. Are you ready, friend, to start your journey? Let's do this. So I went on this trip. It was a trip that I applied to go on to. It was with an organization that I love and truly believe in. It was with the Gary Sinise Foundation. And I've done other things with them, with the kids. And I got this email that says, hey, there's going to be an adventure in Nashville. It's going to be limited spots. Fill out an application and see if you're one, if you get a spot. And so I was like, you know, what do I have to lose? What do I have to lose? Right. So I go and I fill out this application out. It's actually really well written, well crafted questionnaire. Got me thinking. And then I got to the bottom of the application. And it mentions in there that one is the application, again, does not guarantee our spot. But it talks about how we can't reach out to see if we've made it. They'll let us know whether we're selected or not. Also, we have to agree that we will not ask any questions, that we will not, we won't reach out to them and ask questions. We will understand that we will not get any information, that they will send us the travel arrangements. They will send us a hotel. They will send us a packing list. And that's the bulk of the information we're going to get. That our responsibility is to get someone to watch our kids, that it is to get to the airport on time and to trust the process. And let me tell you, part of this was really intriguing and part of this freaked me out a little bit because I'm the planner. I love trips, and I actually haven't done Nashville really. I went there in college for a couple of days, but I went there for a conference. Not to say, and also college, you don't go for the same reasons. Like I do love country music. I'm not a huge country music fan, but I do love it. I love the 90s, the 80s and 90s country. The country today is not, I don't listen to it a lot, but that 90s, 80s and 90s country, I really enjoy. Like, give me some Shania Twain, give me some, you know, Randy Travis, give me some Alan Jackson. I knew, like, this is a side story, but my sister and I, we joke all the time about we knew by how country the music was playing when we woke up was how deep we were into cleaning that day. Like, we knew if it was deep into like Hank Williams, that we knew that we were in for it. If it was Hank Williams Jr., then it's like, okay, maybe half a day. We got some cleaning, but we got some Hank Williams. We knew it was deep cleaning day. And so we would try to figure out, okay, what can we do? Or how long can we stay in bed before they come and get us? But anyway, that's a side note. But so I do enjoy country music and I enjoy the history of music. But I'm also like, well, are we going to go and eat at some great places? What are we going to see? What are we going to do? Are we going to get to see this? All of these things that, you know, you read about Nashville, and I had no control over what I was going to do during it. Well, I did get chosen to go. And so again, we filled out a paper. Like, we had to, you know, it was like, fill it out within 2 days. And, you know, again, we signed saying that we are okay not having any information. And we couldn't tell anyone we're going. And we couldn't, like, there was a lot of stipulations, and it was no social media, no, like, there was a lot surrounding it. And I was like, okay, wonder what we're doing. I wonder what this experience is. And the only thing I knew was the creator of this experience. I trusted. I went, and it was such a great trip. I mean, from the moment we got off, I got off the airplane, I think I was the last one to fly in, because from Tulsa, you always have to go, like, I had to go to Dallas and then to Nashville, whereas a lot of people had direct flights, but I was the last one. And I left early. I left at like 6 a.m. And so it wasn't a long day of flying, but I got in like 3 something, but I was the last one to get in. So they were waiting. Everyone who flew in was waiting for me, and everyone, just the excitement. And we hop on a bus. And this is the first time I didn't know anyone on this. Typically, when I do different events, I know people who are going. I know this one specifically was for widows, for military widows, for the military spouses that lost their husbands, and that we had kids, young kids. And so that was kind of part of the stipulation why I was on the email list to get it in the first place. But we weren't allowed to go and check our networks to see who's going to. Oh, do we know anybody? Like, we weren't, that was not part of the plan. We had to relinquish all control. So we get off the plane and they put us on a bus, and we talk to a few people. Like, you know, I'm saying hi to some people, and we get in there, we get into the Graduate Hotel in Nashville, which is an adorable. I'm going to post some pictures because it was just fun. It was all Dolly everywhere. And they said, okay, we're going to do a little like welcome. We're going to give you guys some information. We're going to give you your welcome bags, which have your t-shirts. You're going to go change, and you have 15 minutes to go and change and get down into this ballroom. It's like, okay, here we go. Like, what are we doing in the ballroom? What are we doing? What time, you know, at this point, I'm like kind of hungry. Like, I didn't have time to grab food during my layover in Dallas. So I'm like, okay, hopefully I'm going to eat soon. But again, they're like, just trust us. We created this with you in mind. We planned ahead, and we will make sure that everything, all of your needs are taken care of. And many of us, like, we had the mix of the excitement and the panic of, well, how do we even know what to enjoy if we don't know what's coming? We wanted to know information, even though we trusted the creators. We trusted those who put this program together. So we go, I get to the room, and it's adorable. Again, I'll show you pictures. It's such a neat room. All the little details, they had little squirrels on pulled, like drawer pulls. Like, it was a fun hotel. And I put on my Gary Sinise Foundation shirt, and I, you know, like, I had a snack in my bag, so I quickly ate some chips just so, because I didn't know what was coming next. And we walk in and we wait, right? We walk in and we can't get into the room yet because they want us to all go in together. And there's about 24 of us. So there was a good size group. And we're all like, oh, what could it be? What is it? What is this like? And there, luckily, out in the foyer, there was some small bites. So we had hummus and a charcuterie board. My daughter always gets on me. Charcuterie board, which is one of my favorite things in the world. And hey, it's one of the best girl foods ever, right? Like, little bites of, we get to try a little bit of everything. And we had some queso and chips, because it's also another amazing food that I couldn't live without. So already, they knew what we needed. We just had to trust. And after everyone comes, and we had a few late stragglers, but they knew that was going to happen soon, that as well. But we all were waiting, and they opened the doors together. And they said, welcome to the Nashville adventure. We can't have you run around Nashville without looking country. And we got to design our own cowgirl hats. Like, there was a designers there who actually made them for us. But we got to pick a hat. We got to pick our accessories that go on it. And we got to do this. We got to have this experience, that's something that I would have even considered doing. That was not even on my bucket list. Truthfully, I didn't even know that's something that you did. What they had planned was so much better than what I could have planned for myself. How many times do we try to control things? We want to know all the details when someone else has already laid the plans out for us. when someone else has already said, hey, I got this. I planned this with you in mind. When it comes to our purpose, this is kind of what God does. He's planned it. You know, the Bible talks about it. He planned this before you even existed. He laid our plans out for us. He created us. He added our strengths and our talents and our stubbornness or different characteristics within us. He added what he knew we needed for this life in order to step into our purpose, in order to do what we were called, what we were created to do, what the plans that were laid out for us. So how we balance the need for control with a purpose-driven faith. And I love this question because by researching this and really looking and going on that trip, I recognized that my need for control is a lot stronger than I give it credit for. The need to have checkpoints, the need to know what's coming next. And I'll share more about this trip, but know that we never knew what we were doing until we got there. We would get on the bus. We would never know where we're going to eat until it showed up. We would never know the next place or what the next experience was until we got there. And then they would give us information about it. They give us some history about it and why they chose it. And it was just the entire weekend. It was 2.5 days. And the only thing we knew was what time we're meeting in the morning was 7:30. We were meeting at 7:30 in the morning. And then they did let us know. We're like, okay, can you just let us know when we can expect to be done for the night? Because we are all moms and we like to sleep. And we need to, we have a limited amount of energy. How excited do we get? And they're like, well, just expect 10:30-ish. You'll be done. 10:30 was definitely generous. There's days we got done at 11:30, but it was so much fun. How many times does God give us just enough information for us to take the next step? When we try to control every aspect, we are not balancing our purpose-driven faith. We are not trusting. We are allowing fear to decide for us what we're going to do. And I say this with a sincere heart and no judgment, because I recognized how many times I need to control things, how many times I want to know what the next step is. So I know to be excited. Do I brace myself? Even when my kids say, hey, mom, I need to talk. I'm like, okay, give me a moment. You say that statement. And then I need just a moment to gather myself because I don't know what's coming next. Because typically from the tone, I don't know if this is something good or something bad, or if I'm going to have to, you know, mama bear or something. Like, I don't know. But I like to know. I like to know what's going to happen next. When it comes to our purpose, when it comes to living our purpose, he doesn't give us all the details. A lot of times he doesn't tell us what's next because he knows how we would react if we knew it. He knows that it would be, well, we would start trying to change things. We would try to control that thing as well. We would choose less than he has for us. We would always choose the safe thing. Even if we're willing to get uncomfortable, we are not willing to get as uncomfortable as necessary. We will still tamper it down. Like we will, like, I'll do this, you know, and take 3 steps, but that leap into 10, I'm not ready to do that yet. I'm going to wait until I'm ready for that. If God would have shown me as a young girl what he had planned for me, I mean, really, if he would show me now where I'm going in the future, like there's been some momentum, some really big things that I cannot wait to share with you, but I can't yet. But I'm like, what does this mean? What is this going to do? Like, where is this going? What does this say? Where is this going to lead me? Like, what does this mean that I, like, okay, what is my responsibility? How do I manage this? And he's like, Tammy, just stop. I got you this far. I'll get you all the way. If I look, like when I was younger, I knew I wanted to be a teacher. I went to, even in high school, I applied for scholarships and things to be a teacher. I went to Baylor, and I went into the education school. And quickly, I realized that traditional teaching was not for me. I quickly moved to computers, which also, like, going from education to computers, complete 180 there, like going from all the people to none the people. And then I realized, okay, I need to go back a little bit more. I need to kind of balance. And I went into, like, business of computers. I went into, you know, I did information systems. So I got to deal with people because I love people, connecting with people. I love relationships and I love hearing stories. And I need people as much as I'm an introvert. And I truly am. I still need that connection. I just need it on smaller doses. So working behind a computer, coding every day was sucking my soul. Like, I could not, that was not it. And I swing left and right, and until God kind of settles me somewhere in the middle. Even in high school, I did Model United Nations, and we had, living in England, as you can imagine, Shakespeare was huge. So we had a Shakespeare festival every year that we had to be a part of, and we had to do an act of a play. And I did not like speaking in public. I did not. I would do whatever I could do to get out of it. I would take the smallest part. I would take the smallest speaking part. I would be up there and I would help other people get to the front. But I still did what I had to do, but I avoided it. If that Tammy in high school as a 15 and 16 year old saw what I was doing now, she probably would have done something drastic to stop it from happening. Because we want control. We don't know what's possible. We don't know what's planned for us. We don't know what's coming. And it's not a bad thing. When we try to control everything, it stops the things that are supposed to happen from happening. When we are trying to control, it means that we are not living our purpose. Because there's a level of faith that comes with living our purpose. And to finish that story, I went into the military and was doing information systems, and I was, I could speak computerese and I can speak customer, because customers and engineers, they cannot typically, the same words have different definitions. What do you need? And then I can describe it to the engineers on how to create it. Like, this is actually what their need is. And so many times I'd be like, are you sure this is what you want? The customers talking about, oh yeah, all of this. And I'm like, this is not, it won't work together. And so talking through, okay, what is your intention? You know, years later, here I am out of the Air Force. And it hit me a little while ago that I'm like, talk about full circle, because I am a teacher. Like, way to go, God. Way to go for, like, taking me the direction that I needed to go. Because if I would have started, and if I would have taken public speaking, I would have forced it. I would not have, it would have made me throw up every day. I probably would have croaked. I probably would not have been able to do it. It would have scared me too much. And I would have sabotaged it every step of the way. But the way he did it, he gave me insight. He gave me his wisdom. He guided me in a slow path of teaching a few and then teaching a few more and then learning a little bit more about teaching and speaking. And now I know Mr. Keegan is not listening to this. I know he doesn't listen to my podcast, but I know he follows me on social, and I know he is shocked that I get up and I'm talk to thousands of people. I have an event coming up that I get to talk to. Well, I get to talk to like 16,000 people, and I will talk more about that when I can. I'm trying not to get too nervous about it, but how cool is that? And if that 16 year old would have known this, my point here is not that I get to go and do this. It's the fact that there's a reason why we have to relinquish control, that when we let go of control, we're living our purpose. Living our purpose means allowing what was created for us in the past to come into fruition in the future. What happened, what was created for us in the past, gets to come to light in the future. When you live your purpose, when you release control and understand that, okay, I just need to take one step, one faith step, one trust step And maybe sometimes it is a trust fall. Maybe a lot of times it's a trust fall. But we have a creator who has created this with us in mind, crafting every detail, knowing that some of it we won't like, but we have the skills, we have the characteristics, we have the stubbornness to get through it. And we need that fire, we need that challenge, we need that trial to be able to survive what's coming next, good or bad. Just because we went through doesn't mean we're going to have bigger trials, but let's face it, we are. Let's call it a kettle black, right? Call the pot black, kettle black, but both of them are black, right? The pot calling the kettle black. There you go. We have trials, and everything we do gets us ready for the next. To have a purpose-driven faith, it means looking at what we've done, taking the gold, taking the refined gold from it, and tucking that away and trusting for the future. We have to trust that the creator that is laying the steps out for us had us in mind. He knew what he was going to ask us to do, what he was going to allow us to partner with him, like the partnership that we get to step into. He could do it without us. And one of the things that I fear the most is that when he asks me to do something and I say no, someone else gets to do it, because I so want what he has for me, which means that I have to be willing to release the control so that way I can let things happen the way they're supposed to. That way I can shift and pivot and fail and fall and make mistakes and take the wrong path, knowing that he directs my path and he'll get me back on that yellow brick road. He'll get me back. He'll tap me into place. And I can trust that if I control everything, it stifles. It puts out the fire. When you put a cup over a candle and you put it, or, you know, it snuffs it out. The flame goes out. You can't shine your light when you have a container on top of it. When we try to control things, we try to like just give a little bit of air, a little bit of air, a little bit of air, just so that way we can still like, okay, we'll shine a little bit, but I'm going to stay comfortable for the most part. And we have that false humility where it's like, I don't want to be bigger than my britches. I don't want to be prideful. And I don't, well, you know, like I look at Paul, he was bold. He was confident. He was to the point where you're like, was he arrogant about it? It's like, no, he trusted so much. Before the road to Damascus, he was arrogant and he was prideful. But even that God used, because he saw his arrogance and he saw how he's prideful. And then he saw the truth. His blindness helped him see for the first time. So throw away the false humility of, oh, I'm gonna go slow in order to make sure it's the right direction. God will make sure it's the right direction. You just need to get out and act. And so what can we do? And I have three things here. That how do I balance my need for control with a purpose-driven faith? Because let's face it, I don't think I'm ever going to be able to completely put down my need for control. And I'm willing to address it daily so that way I can truly live a purpose-driven faith. So I can do the things that God has laid out, because though they're scary, though they get me uncomfortable and they sometimes make me want to puke, when I get to experience that what he has for me and realize, and he shows me that, no, this is who I created you to be. I want you to impact others. I want you to teach and guide, and I want you, and like boldly, I'm telling you, my purpose is to help you see your purpose and to live it, help you discover it, help you to find why. Ask the why questions of, you know, like, why have you been through everything? Well, typically it's not the why that we get answers to. It's the what. It's the who that we get to answer from the past. And I get to do that. And if I didn't relinquish control, if I didn't go on the path of obedience and just allow my purpose-driven faith to step in, then I wouldn't get to do this. I would still be doing something else, or I would take a job that would probably be great. I'd be good at it because it would be with my strengths. I would, you know, go teach because I was actually filling out applications to go and teach college. I was going to go be a professor. I'm so glad that I recognized that I still wanted to teach, but I allowed God to show me the way. So these three things that this is what I do. Is when I start feeling the need for control, I ask myself, what am I afraid of? And I'm not going to lie, a lot of the things are, what if it works? And that fear of success, that fear of what now, the fear of the responsibility that comes from it. And I have, from talking to a lot of women, we talk about the disconnect between discovering your faith and living, or it's discovering your purpose and living your purpose. And it's that fear of the responsibility and like the what if it works? What if that's just the beginning? That right there. And it's like, but what if it is? Like, how cool is that? And what if, just like God prepared you for this moment, He's already preparing you for the next one. So what are you afraid of? Ask yourself, when there's that need for control. I know that when I'm trying to control my son, when I'm trying to control a situation, part of it is like, okay, like this is one area that, so he does not like to get up in the morning. I want a clean kitchen in the morning. Like the kids switch off. Like Isaac has it for a week, then Linus has it for a week doing the kitchen. I tell them if it's emptied, the dishwasher's emptied in the morning, I will help keep it empty, like filled all day. And they have less that builds up because I like a clean kitchen. There's a lot of things that I have relinquished, a lot of organization and cleanliness and like clutter, having them home all the time. But he does not want to get up in the morning to do it. And so, but he still wants to do do it late at night. He's an Enneagram 8, which one of the things that he's going to struggle with is he always thinks he'll have more time later. Everything is future focused. He will I will do it later. I'll have more time. And I'm like, okay, well, here is my deadline for you. And I say this, like, what does that have to do with control? It's like, well, one of the things that I want is I don't want to control how it happens. But I'm like, when I wake up at 5 a.m, I want the dishwasher emptied. How do you think that can happen? So, and one of the things that it brings me some peace in the morning to wake up to at least a start of a clean kitchen. So I know you can feel me there. But the other part too, one of the fears of mine is that he does not like to be given deadlines. How many of us have deadlines all the time? I'm like, if you don't know how to hit a deadline, you're not going to be able to keep a job. You're not going to be able to manage when you go to college and you have multiple teachers who all believe that, you know, all the papers are there. Their papers are the most important. You got 7 of them all at the same time and you wait till later. So there's a fear there and I don't think it's unfounded, but I have to really, so the control part is that I'm like, so I demand that this is my deadline. This is when I stop to look and realize that like, okay, that was my fear. Then how can I help him meet the deadline? How can I give him options? And so we talk about, okay, if he starts the dishwasher right after dinner, then it'll actually run and it'll be done before he goes to bed. Problem solved. And then I'm happy. I met my requirement. You don't need to get up 6:30 in the morning, 5:30 in the morning, whatever. The other side of things is when I control. Like, okay, well, where are you going? What are you doing? Now that he has a driver's license, he wanted ice cream. He grabbed the keys, went to get some ice cream. Luckily, he brought me some back too. So not too terribly upset about that. But there's always a fear attached to control. So what are you afraid of? The next is, how have you overcome challenges in the past? I want you to ask yourself that. Okay, what challenges did I just overcome? What caught me there? Was it support from a friend? Was it a characteristic? Was it a stubbornness? Was it a scrappiness? Was it a skill? Was it a talent? Was it a gift? What is it, a strength? And the third is, what is it worth to you? What are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to sacrifice the discomfort of not knowing and releasing control? Those three things help me put in perspective of my purpose-driven faith. What I want from God is way more. I know He promises, and it's going to be way more than I can ever imagine. So if I try to control it, it means I'm settling for less. So am I willing to sacrifice my comfort and sacrifice the control, sacrifice not knowing in order to get what He has planned for me? And I am. This went a lot longer than I expected. I figured talk about releasing control and it would go pretty quick, but this is a subject that it's near and dear to my heart, and I know that it's near and dear to yours. I know because when I talk to you, and I ask questions, it's that control keeps showing its ugly head. So instead of working against it, work with it. Ask yourself, what are you afraid of? Why is having control over this so important? By doing that, it really shows you. It puts it in a perspective. It puts it in a light. It brings the ugliness of it to light. And so it loses its power over you. And then you can decide, no, this is something that I really do need to control. Or no, this is something that I need to relinquish it completely and just have faith. And because of this, and this, I have evidence that I can. Because our brain loves evidence. Our brain loves to see what's possible. And just like that, just the way our brain wants to see what's possible. If you're ready to see what your purpose is, you're ready to discover it and then live it. If you're ready to relinquish control for a purpose-driven faith, DM me, call me, all the things. My website is still not up. It's, you know, this is one other thing that I cannot control, but it's coming. My new website, my old one came down, my new one's about to go up, but all the things are a little complicated. But I'm still on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I've got email. Message me. Let's talk about what's possible for you. So with that, friend, I hope you have an amazing week. Ask yourself today these questions and see what you're trying to control and how by relinquish it, you can gain a peace. You can live a purpose-driven faith, and well, you can just have a little more fun with not being in fear all the time. All right, friend, with that, choose joy until joy chooses you. I will see you really soon. All right, bye.